This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Christian perspective on the news does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Radio K Pulpit or the on-air presenter, but is the independent viewpoint of the individual contributor. Please send an email to info@kpulpit.co.za should you have any further inquiries.
Christian perspective on the news.
Mondays, we spend some quality time with Mike Bernard, an analytical strategist, helping churches, mission organizations, and you and I to get grips on the season that we live in. Morning, Mike.
Yes, good morning, Brad, and good morning to the listeners.
Hey, those frotias, they were so close. Hey. My heart broke.
What a wonderful achievement, and how glorious from, you know, the captain Laura Wolfart. You know, my goodness, what a cricket player she turns out to be.
Indeed.
And we can just be so proud of the woman. Well done, well done. I think this was an extraordinary achievement. Well done.
Yeah, and you just hope it can unlock something amazing in the young girls and women in South Africa who have a passion for sport, want to pursue it, and can be encouraged just like the rugby boys have done for us over the years and the cricket guys have done. Get us excited about sport and what that means, and maybe even being professional in the future and all the good things that sport can offer. So, let's hope some youngsters are getting excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also good that it's putting women's sport on the map.
Indeed.
You know, I think of how many in the past, how many people, or men especially, you know, would really watch the women cricket team playing. But I mean, yesterday I walked in the street and I just heard so many televisions on, you know, everybody listening and watching, and it was, it did us proud. So well done.
Indeed. So Mike dropped me a message to say we need to talk about Donald Trump and Nigeria, and I thought, what now? Because I was wondering what's going on. So I went and checked it out myself, and for those of you who aren't sure, I'm just going to read one paragraph and then we'll leave it up to Mike. U.S. President Donald Trump said on Saturday that he's ordered the Defense Department to prepare for possible military action in Nigeria as he continues to accuse the nation of not doing enough to stem violence against Christians. What do you have to say about that, Mike?
Yeah, Brad, let me start with a disclaimer.
Yeah.
I'm not a Donald Trump fan. Yeah, really, and that's probably an understatement of the year. But so why I'm saying that is to what I'm about to say is not from a Donald Trump bias or non-bias. It's simply stating the fact that Donald Trump came forward as a political leader to address the issue in Nigeria. Now, let me just provide the context, Brad. In the first 7 months of this year, 2025, more than 7,000 Christians were martyred. That equals 30 Christian martyrs per day for 7 months.
Wow.
Brad, we don't even talk about this in our churches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about everything else, but we forgot that. We're not talking about Mozambique, the DRC, and especially Nigeria. 7,800 Christians were abducted in the first 7 months of this year. Since between August and October, another 100 Christians were killed. And this is according to the International Society for Civil Liberties, Open Doors, and the International Christian Concern. So this is one more Christians have been martyred in Nigeria last year than in all of the world combined.
Wow.
So what we're seeing in Nigeria is something that should be priority on the church's lists and what we talk about and what we pray about. And it's not happening. And Brad, you know, I've been serving the Takeda Church for nearly 50 years now. And one of our prayers that we've always prayed when we got together as leaders, when we got together as teams, when we got together as fellow believers, we've always prayed that there would be political leaders that would stand up and put this on the agenda of political leaders as well. We've always had this understanding, you know, that serving the persecuted church is like someone being pushed into a river and we jump in and we rescue the person and take him out, put him on the bank again, and then someone pushes them in again. Mm. We just keep on rescuing. But we need political leaders that will stand on the bank of the river and say, we're going to stop people from pushing the Christians into the river.
Yeah.
And this is what Donald Trump has done. He's placed, I don't think he will act on his threats. But what he has done is, from a political perspective, he's placed the need of believers on the political agenda. Mm. And this is an answer to prayer. And I'm really extremely grateful for that, Brad, because what's happening in Nigeria has to stop. There's got to come an end to this. And unless a political leader with influence, like Donald Trump, stands up and say, we've had enough. And I'm really grateful that someone within the political arena and scene is willing to stand up for Christians who are being persecuted. Let me also just emphasize, it's the role of the church, first of all, to stand up for fellow believers. This is not only a suggestion from Scripture. It's a command. If one member of the Bible suffers, we all, one member of the body suffers, we all suffer together. Mm. This is a natural response within the body of Christ. We need to feel the pain. But if political leaders like Donald Trump can stand up, it gives us impetus for what we as believers stand for as well.
The interesting thing, though, is if a political leader makes a statement, then you get a political response. And that's exactly what's happened from Nigeria, where they have repeatedly denied that this is happening. You know, and that's not to save face, I'm guessing, but that's now a political response to a political threat, despite what you've just shared now in terms of statistics from the likes of Open Doors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, President, you know, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, he pushed back and said there's no persecution. But I mean, it's undeniable. Mm-hmm. We can see that. But that would be the response. But we are, you know, when things come into the light, there can be a greater response universally for what's happening. It's the same in any political situation, even in our past in South Africa. Once apartheid came under the light and under the big searchlight of international intervention, things started happening. And we need to see this in Nigeria. Of course they will. You know, Nigeria is a very unique country in the sense that the southern part of Nigeria is Christian. So it's your biggest Christian nation in Africa. And yet in the northern parts and on the border between north and south, you see the persecution. So it's easy to live in Nigeria and say there's no persecution. But once you start moving to the north, you come into the Fulani district and you see just, you know, the Islamic State of West Africa province, ISWAP, becoming and then Boko Haram, of course, becoming the persecutors of Christians there.
Yeah. When you read or hear what Donald Trump has said, you get that sort of Hollywood action movie kind of feeling, but you don't just land with helicopters and start shooting. You know, this is obviously got to be, it would be a very long-term thing. It wouldn't just be, as he says, we're just going to jump in. And his words, these are not our words. Donald Trump said, we will go guns a-blazing. Literally, he said, yes, guns a-blazing. So, I mean, it's not going to be like that at all. I mean, it's got to be a very intricate operation if it ever did materialize. So this does feel very much just like a spotlight on the issue. But then the big question is, what can be done? What's going to change? I mean, idle threats is not going to get the Islamic State running in the opposite direction. So what is actually practically could be done against this persecution apart from praying?
There will always be a pushback. I think what we will see, Brad, sadly so, is that there will be an immediate pushback. There could probably be an increase in persecution as an immediate pushback. This is what we see across the globe. As soon as the spotlight falls on something, there's a reaction. Mm. But at least when something is in the spotlight, and this is for me, this is the most important thing, is that Christians will start praying for our brothers and sisters of the persecuted church. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, we're so obsessed with our own security and our own safety and our own, you know, just success and whatever it might be, prosperity, that we forget about the body of Christ that is in pain. More than half of the world today contains Christians that are being persecuted for their faith. Mm. We think about North Korea. We think about Syria, where we just were, you know, we think about Gaza, where the church is suffering severely. Just been talking about a young lady that's been arrested now, a Palestinian girl, and in a Christian girl, and imprisoned, you know. So we need to put the persecuted church on the spotlight. And if the church doesn't do it, we are ashamed when people like Donald Trump does it. So let us as a church take up our responsibility. The Bible is clear about this. If one member suffers, the whole body suffers. Remember those in prison, says Hebrews, as if you were in prison with them. And in Matthew 25, and this is the final judgment, you and I will stand there, Brad. We will be there with the final judgment, regardless if we've accepted Christ in our life, in our hearts or not. I was in prison, Jesus said, and you visited me. Yeah. Are we visiting Christ today in Nigeria through our prayers, through our solidarity? Because this is what is required of the church in the world today.
That's the voice of Mike Bernard. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Next time we chat, God willing, next Monday. Look forward to that. And it would have been after South Africa play against Ireland. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm already nipping. So it's going to be a big one, Mike.
It's going to be a big weekend, my brother. And yeah, I'm really concerned. I think one team that can beat us is France. They've got that rugby mentality that can beat any team in the world. So I'm scared about Ireland. I think it's a minor problem, but I think France is the big one.
So that's it. France this weekend, almost at Nigeria. France this new weekend, Ireland the weekend after that. Then it's Wales and Scotland and. So anyway, lots of sport happening, but there are also bigger things in the world. And we pay close attention to the words that Mike has shared this morning. Mike, appreciate your time and for sharing the story with us. Have yourself a really wonderful day and a super week.
Thank you, Brad, to you and to the listeners as well. Bless you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.